Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz winter event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining the National and International Roundtable, which is the fastest growing talk show of its kind on the internet. Hosted by Municipal Court Judge Fad Wilson and Arif Khatib, and presented by the Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame, a nonprofit organization based in the USA. The Hall of Fame was established in 2000 to broaden the public understanding of ethnic history and the role of diversity and cultural tolerance in the growth of professional sports. The Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame, inducts athletes no matter their race. They have presented ceremonies in New York, Seattle, Puerto Rico, Ethiopia, Los Angeles, Nairobi, Kenya, the Virgin Islands, Houston, Texas, Little Rock, Arkansas, San Francisco Bay, and Palm Springs. We are not trained journalists here, therefore we will concentrate on the format for the show, which is to teach and to inspire. And although the National International Roundtable is a Sports Hall of Fame, We will be discussing many topics on this show, which will feature compelling guests that we know will enlighten, inform, empower, and educate listeners around the globe, because it's already doing that. You will get information on this show that you're not likely to find anywhere else. This show is not your ordinary listening experience, and it is not a reality show. We give you the opportunity to listen to notable guests that will educate listeners on a wide variety of topics. And tonight is no exception. I'm Ms. Denise Newton, sitting in tonight for Judge Wilson and Arif Khatib. So, as I do every fourth Monday of each month. So, for tonight, originally I was scheduled to have a few people on to have a roundtable discussion, as we often do when I host a show on the fourth Mondays. But in light of the fact that earlier this morning we lost a icon, a pioneer, trailblazer, one of a person that I truly, truly admire, who helped put me on the path to becoming an author myself, and then we're talking about certainly the legendary Dr. Maya Angelou, passed away this morning at age 86. And I'm sure by now, no matter where you are in the world, if you have access to any type of communication, I'm sure you've heard by now that the world has certainly lost this jewel, Dr. Maya Angelou. So tonight's broadcast will be dedicated to her memory, and we will honor and pay reverence to her. So again, good evening and welcome to the Wednesday, May 28th edition of the National International Radio Broadcast. I am your host, S. Denise Newton, holding it down for regular host, Municipal Court Judge Fad Wilson and Arif Khatib, founder of the Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame. And again, I just thank you for listening tonight as we pay homage to Dr. Maya Angelou. So let me kind of set the format for tonight and tell you what's going on. There won't be a whole lot of discussion here on this segment tonight about Dr. Angelou. I'm sure that's been done in various places, various media outlets where people will be discussing her life and her legacy. So what I would like to do tonight instead is let Dr. Maya Angelou herself speak directly to you as a way to remember this definitely icon in not only the literary world, but she was an activist as well. So what I'm going to do, the way I'm going to set up tonight's form is I will be giving you portions of her broadcast, of her biography. I'm sorry, I'm kind of looking at several things here, so forgive me for kind of stumbling there. But I'm going to be giving you portions of her biography, and then I will be playing some clips of Dr. Angelou speaking in her own words in various different settings and events. So let's start here at the top with the bio, the first part of her bio, again, which is very lengthy, so I'm going to break it up into several parts. Maya Angelou was born Marguerite Annie Johnson in St. Louis, Missouri. Her parents divorced when she was only three, and she was sent with her brother Bailey to live with their grandmother in the small town of Stamps, Arkansas. And in Stamps, the young girl experienced the racial discrimination that was the legally enforced way of life in the American South. But she also absorbed the deep religious faith and old-fashioned courtesy of traditional African-American life. She credits her grandmother and her extended family with instilling in her the values that informed her later life and career. She enjoyed a close relationship with her brother. Unable to pronounce her name because of a stutter, Bailey called her Mai for my sister. A few years later, when he read a book about the Maya Indians, he began to call her Maya, and the name stuck. At age seven, while visiting her mother in Chicago, she was sexually molested by her mother's boyfriend. Too ashamed to tell any of the adults in her life, she confided in her brother. When she later heard the news that an uncle had killed her attacker, she felt that her words had, she fell silent and did not speak for 5 years. Maya began to speak again at 13 when she and her brother rejoined their mother in San Francisco. Maya attended Mission High School and won a scholarship to study dance and drama at San Francisco Labor School, where she was exposed to the progressive ideals that animated her later political activism. She dropped out of school in her teens to become San Francisco's first African-American female cable car conductor. She later returned to high school, but became pregnant in her senior year and graduated a few weeks before giving birth to her son, Guy. She left home at 16 and took on the difficult life of a single mother, supporting herself and her son by working as a waitress and cook, but she had not given up on her talents for music, dance, performance, and poetry. So I'm going to stop there. That will be the first part of Maya Angelou's bio, and I'm going to get ready to play a few clips. But before I go there, I just want to let you know that if you would like to call in and join the conversation, make a comment, just remember her in your own way, you can do so by calling 602-753-1829, and I will be glad to bring you on. So tonight's broadcast, again, is dedicated to the life and memory of Dr. Angelou, who passed away earlier today. And it was actually through reading her writings, of, you know, that I myself personally found my way into the world of literary, or my own literary journey. And although Dr. Angelou has been removed from my presence and now sleeps with the ancestors, she will be a permanent fixture in the hearts of many, especially mine. Definitely, I looked up to this lady a lot. After reading I Know Why a Caged Bird Sings, I read that book when I believe I might have been about 12 or 13 years old, and I just was so, you know, just impressed and just so captivated by Dr. Angelou's writings that I began to follow her. And I was actually given a whole set of her books as a Christmas gift 1 year, and I just really got so involved in her writings and in her life. And she was definitely a hero of mine. And it was through her writings that I began to pursue the field of becoming an author and writing. And so I write poetry, fiction, and nonfiction. So I do have Dr. Angelou to credit for that and to thank for that. So let me go ahead and go to some of these clips here so that you can hear from this matriarch yourself. So this first one that I'm going to play for you is simply entitled Maya Angelou, and these are her own words. So enjoy, and we'll be back on the other side of this clip.
Mrs. Flowers took me to the library in the black school. The library was probably as large as a telephone booth. You know, it may have had 110 books in it, maybe. She said, I want you to read every book in this room. And I found poetry, and I loved it. I just loved it. I had no idea what it would sound like, since I'd never heard any recited. But I loved it. And I was able to translate it at 8, at 9, at 10. I consider that a lifeline, because finally, when I was about 12 and a half, almost 13, Mrs. Flowers, who would allow me to come to her house, and she would read to me. When I was almost 13, she said, you will never really love poetry until you speak it, feel it come across your tongue, over your lips. In order to be a mentor, and an effective one, one must care. You must care. You don't have to know how many square miles in or Idaho. You don't need to know what is the chemical makeup of chemistry or of blood or water. You don't know what you know and care about the person. Care about what you know and care about the person you're sharing it with. So if you know how to change a tire and that's all, that's good. But teach them by showing, by caring that they know these things. Then that will be of use someday. And it may never be actually called out. I don't think I'd be called out to change a tire. But I know fundamentally how to change a tire. And if I physically can't do it, I may be able to attract some young person and tell him how to take the lugs off, take the you see? So a mentor helps the person to interpret the world.
And you just heard the voice of Dr. Maya Angelou in this short clip. And, you know, when I hear that voice, that is definitely a unique voice. He has a very unique sound. And we are going to really, really miss that voice. And I know that I had the pleasure of seeing Dr. Angelou personally in about 4 years ago. I think, it was in 2010. I was at the National Urban League Conference, their centennial, actually, that was held in Washington, D.C. And Dr. Angelou came out on stage with the rapper Common. He escorted her out because the two of them had actually collaborated on a poetic piece. And I noticed even then that she was quite frail, but she came out on the stage with Common, and they recited this amazing piece together. And I thought that was just so amazing. And she also did the keynote address there that night. And to be able to sit in the same room and listen to someone that had impacted my life in such a grand way, because again, I don't mean to be repetitive, but I just can't help but remember how when I first read the book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, I remember it was then, because I've always been a reader ever since I was a little girl, you know, 5 or 6 years old, but you know, just reading that book and just seeing how she was able to weave together this incredible tale, it just started me on the path of wanting to do the same thing. And what it did, in essence, was ignite this passion within myself. It was like igniting or lighting a match, striking a match rather, to get me going in my own literary pursuits. And I do credit Dr. Angelou for that. So just listening to her voice, it's kind of hard not to get a little misty and teary-eyed here, because although she was 86 years old, and it's, you know, it's no secret that she had been in failing health for the last couple of years, it's still just kind of difficult to hear that she is no longer with us. But we will be hearing different clips here throughout this podcast. So, again, if you would like to join me, if you would like to make a comment about Dr. Angelou or just, you know, articulate your own fond memories of her, then feel free to do so by calling this number, 602-753-1829. And I would be glad to speak with you and to let you on the air as we memorialize this American icon. So, second part of Dr. Angelou's biography. In 1952, she married a Greek sailor named Anastasios Angelopoulos. When she began her career as a nightclub singer, she took the professional name Maya Angelou, combining her childhood nickname with the form of her husband's name. Although the marriage did not last, her performing career flourished. She toured Europe with a production of the opera Porgy and Bess in 1954 and 1955. She studied modern dance with Martha Graham, danced with Alvin Ailey on television variety shows, and recorded her first record album, Calypso Lady, in 1957. She had composed song lyrics and poems for many years, and by the end of the 1950s, she was increasingly interested in developing her skills as a writer. She moved to New York, where she joined the Harlem Writers Guild and took her place among the growing number of young Black writers and artists associated with the civil rights movement. She acted in the historic off-Broadway production of Jean Genet's The Blacks and wrote and performed at Cabaret for Freedom with the actor and comedian Godfrey Cambridge. So that's the second part of her biography, and now we'll go to another clip of Dr. Angelou. And this one is called Mom and Me and Mom by Dr. Maya Angelou, and we'll be back on the other side of this clip.
Random House Audio presents Mom and Me and Mom by Maya Angelou. And I am Maya Angelou. I have particular thanks to Vivian Baxter, who generously taught me how to be a mother, allowing me to dedicate this book to one of the most courageous and generous men I know, my son, Guy Bailey Johnson. Prologue. Frequently, I have been asked how I got to be this way. How did I, born Black in a white country, poor in a society where wealth is adored and sought after at all costs, female in an environment where only large ships and some engines are described favorably by using the female pronoun, how did I get to be Maya Angelou? Many times I have wanted to quote Topsy, the young Black girl in Uncle Tom's Cabin. I have been tempted to say, I don't know, I just growed. I never used that response for a number of reasons. First, because I read the book in my early teens, and the ignorant Black girl embarrassed me. Second, I knew that I had become the woman I am.
And again, that was Dr. Maya Angelou that you just heard there. You know, I just want to say about tonight's broadcast is that it's very informal. I decided not to have my usual panel discussion tonight because I just wanted to use this opportunity to remember this woman who has touched the lives of so many people. I know I've already said it a couple of times since I started the broadcast, but especially me, she has really touched my life in so many ways. So tonight is going to be a very informal presentation of the National and International Roundtable, because this is very, very personal to me that we lost this jewel, this international treasure today, early this morning, in fact. And she was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which is not very far from where I am at the moment as we speak. So, you know, it just... And how I really found out about Dr. Angelou's death this morning, I was at work, and one of my friends texted me and said, "Did you know?" Because he knows how much I like Dr. Angelou, and he said, "Just want to let you know that, you know, she died." And you know, and it just, and I knew I couldn't get to the computer at that moment to read about it or find out what happened or anything like that. But, you know, but I waited until I got a break, and I went and read the headline about it, and I was like, wow, you know, first, you know, Nelson Mandela back in December, and now Dr. Angelou. But, you know, all of what this does for me personally is begs the question, who can take up her mantle? It's just sometimes a little disheartening to me that in this 21st century, we don't have people with the type, and I won't say we don't have them, but at least to me anyway, no one has really stepped forward to, you know, walk in the footsteps of these people. And it certainly is not that we don't need them anymore. I think right now we need them more than ever with so many of the ills and the issues that we see, particularly in communities of color. So where are these fiery, you know, activists that says, "I will work tirelessly to affect change and to bring about change in the world"? We just don't seem to see them anymore like they were in the days of these particular type of trailblazers like Dr. Angelou. So, again, if you would like to join me, you certainly are free to do so by calling 602-753-1829. We will be on the air until 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, unless the conversations get, you know, pretty intense and go a little bit over, and that's fine. We can set the time to go beyond that if need be. But again, 602-753-1829, and you can join the conversation to memorialize this woman that I personally have a great love for. So let me go ahead and give you the next part of Dr. Angelou's bio, and then we'll move on to another clip. She returned to America in 1964 with the intention of helping Malcolm X build his new organization of African American Unity. Shortly after her arrival in the United States, Malcolm X was assassinated, and his plans for a new organization died with him. Dr. Angelou involved herself in television production and remained active in the civil rights movement, working more closely with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who requested that she serve as Northern coordinator for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. His assassination, which actually fell on her birthday in 1968, left her devastated, obviously. With the guidance of her friend, the novelist James Baldwin, she found solace in writing and began work on the book that would become I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. The book tells the story of her life from childhood in Arkansas to the birth of her own child. I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings was published in 1970 to widespread critical acclaim and enormous popular success. And seemingly overnight, she became a national figure. In the following years, books of her verse and the subsequent volumes of her autobiographical narrative won her a huge international audience. And she was increasingly in demand as a teacher and a lecturer, and continued to explore dramatic forms as well. She wrote the screenplay and composed the score for the film Georgia, in 1972. Her screenplay, the first by an African-American woman ever to be filmed, was indeed nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. So there's, you know, that's some more biographical information, and I will be giving even some little-known facts about Dr. Angelou pretty shortly here. So let's go to another clip. And since we mentioned I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings in the piece that I just gave you, why don't we just go ahead and listen to a little of that. This is Dr. Angelou, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and we'll be right back on the other side of the clip.
Random House Audiobooks presents I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou. Read for you by the author.
When I was 3 and Bailey 4, we had arrived in the musty little town wearing tags on our wrists which instructed to whom it may concern that we were Marguerite and Bailey Johnson, Jr. from Long Beach, California, en route to Stamps, Arkansas, care of Mrs. Annie Henderson. Our parents had decided to put an end to their calamitous marriage, and Father had shipped us home to his mother. A porter had been charged with our welfare. He got off the train the next day in Arizona, and our tickets were pinned to my brother's inside coat pocket. I don't remember much of the trip, but after we reached the segregated southern part of the journey, things must have lit up. Negro passengers, who always traveled with loaded lunch boxes, felt sorry for the poor little motherless darlings and plied us with cold fried chicken and potato salad. Years later, I discovered that the United States had been crossed thousands of times by frightened black children traveling alone to their newly affluent parents in northern cities or back to grandmothers in southern towns when the urban North reneged on its economic promises. The town reacted to us as if...
And that, again, was... A clip of Dr. Angelou speaking. Another thing that I often think about is as these trailblazers are dying off, I earlier alluded to Nelson Mandela, and as these and a lot of those civil rights activists from that particular era. As they begin to die off, I can't help but wonder, whose voice will come forward? Who will be the voice of this generation? Who will be the voice of the 21st century? The voice says, because certainly this cannot be an individual effort. This has to be a collaborative effort and a collective effort by a lot of people. Because, personally, when I think back to the way things happened years ago and the need for the civil rights activists to get out there and to fight on behalf of not only civil rights, but voting rights and all of these things. I think a lot of us have become complacent to the point that we feel like we have arrived and that we don't need these kind of voices any longer. But as an educator who's been in the education system now for over 20 years, and I see what our children and our young people are having to go through, and one of the things that has not left our presence, and unfortunately, personally, I don't think it ever will, and that is racism. And and there was a time when, at least racism was more cloaked, and now it seems that the cloaks are coming off, and we're just seeing, these incidents around the country where, people are just coming out saying really what they feel, that the masks are off. And so now more so than ever, we need to get those voices back out there to say, we're just not going to stand for these things to just happen and not address them and not let you know that we are aware. Because if we don't, do that, if we don't have those voices to come forward, I'm just afraid that this next generation is just going to be completely and utterly lost because they just don't have those fighters out there like we had. I think too many of us just say it is what it is. It's a sign of the times. That's just the day we live in. And that is just a horrible excuse for us to use for not, you know, taking the more active role in these things that go on in our communities. So I pray that, you know, as these trailblazers die off, that we will see the need to get a new generation of trailblazers and voices to rise up and at this very critical time. So I want to take a moment to give a quick announcement, if I can. And this is in regards to for those in the San Francisco Bay Area, and again, I have to ask you to forgive me, and I apologize for stumbling here, but they are getting messages as we speak, and so my attention was diverted there for a second, so please forgive me for that. I didn't mean to do that, but let me give a quick announcement here at the bottom of the hour. For those in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Linda Hand Foundation is presenting its annual dinner and award ceremony on Saturday, May 31st at the Scottish Rite Center in Oakland, California. Special guests will be Pete Escovedo, Ricardo Scales, and Danny Glover. Don't miss this great event. And for more information, please call 510-553-1262. All right. So, again, you want to check that out, and I will give that particular announcement again before I end the broadcast tonight because that is something that if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, you definitely want to support this particular dinner and award ceremony. This sounds just phenomenal, and I wish that I were in the area because I would definitely be in the number, no doubt about it. So I will give that announcement again and that contact information. So we're back here on the National International Roundtable. I'm Estes Newton sitting in tonight for Arif Khatib and Judge Brad Wilson. I take the every fourth Wednesday show. I usually sit in and host that particular broadcast, and I'm still getting some messages. And I want to say these people were sending me messages. You are definitely you know, welcome to call in at 602-753-1829 and speak. We can spend some time in honoring the legendary Maya Angelou, because as I'm getting these text messages, it's kind of diverting my attention. So I would prefer that you just go ahead and call in or just send me an email. It's a little bit easier than the text messages. But anyway, we are listening to some clips of Dr. Angelou in her own unique voice that will never, ever be, I don't think anybody else could ever, you know, have that kind of unique sound and be able to affect people in the way that Dr. Angelou did in her own way. So let me read a little bit more of her bio, and then we'll go to some more clips. Dr. Angelou was invited by successive presidents of the U.S. to serve in various capacities. President Ford appointed her to the American Revolution Bicentennial Commission, and President Carter invited her to serve on the Presidential Commission for the International Year of the Woman. President Clinton requested that she compose a poem to read at his inauguration in 1993, and her reading of the poem On the Pulse of the Morning was broadcast live around the world. And since 1981, Dr. Angelou has served as Reynolds Professor of American Studies at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She has continued to appear on television and in films, including Poetic Justice in 1993 and the landmark television adaptation of Roots in 1977. She directed numerous dramatic and documentary programs on television and directed a feature film, Down in the Delta, in 1996. And also, the list of her published works include more than 30 titles. These include numerous volumes of verse, beginning with Just Give Me a Cool Drink of Water, Before I Die in 1971, Books of her stories and essays include Wouldn't Take Nothing for My Journey Now in 1993, and Even the Stars Look Lonesome in 1997. She continued the compelling narrative of her life in The Swinging and Getting Merry Like Christmas in 1976, The Heart of a Woman in 1981, All God's Children Need Traveling Shoes, 1987, and A Song Flung Up to Heaven in 2002. All right, and since I mentioned in that piece that she wrote The Heart of a Woman, let's go there now and take a listen to that particular clip by Dr. Maya Angelou, and we'll see you on the other side of it.
Random House Audiobooks presents The Heart of a Woman by Maya Angelou, read for you by the author.
The old larks are movering, movering, movering. Old larks are movering, movering along. That ancient spiritual could have been the theme song of the United States in 1957. We were a movering, to, fro, up, down, and often in concentric circles. We created a maze of contradictions. Black and white Americans danced a fancy and often dangerous do-si-do. In our steps forward, abrupt turns, sharp spins, and reverses, we became our own befuddlement. I had returned to California from a year-long European tour as premier dancer with Porgy and Bess. I worked months singing in West Coast and Hawaiian nightclubs and saved my money. I took my young son Guy and joined the Beatnik Brigade. To my mother's dismay and Guy's great pleasure, we moved across the Golden Gate Bridge and into a houseboat commune in Sausalito, where I went barefoot, wore jeans, and both of us wore rough, dried clothes. My commune mates, an ichthyologist, a musician, a wife, and an inventor, were white, and had they been political, which they were not, would have occupied a place between the far left and revolution. During our stay in Sausalito, my mother struggled with her maternal instincts. On her monthly visits, dressed in Stone Martin furs, diamonds, and spike heels, which constantly caught between the loose floorboards.
All right, and that was Dr. Maya Angelou from The Heart of a Woman. Okay, so, you know, it's just so beautiful to sit here and hear her voice and how strong her voice is and just how unique of an individual Maya Angelou really is, or really was now as we memorialize her today. Certainly, I think that she deserves, you know, the same type of respect that we would certainly give high-ranking dignitaries and diplomats, because she has certainly done a lot of things, done wonderful things, and accomplished a lot of great things in her lifetime. I remember her role in Roots, and we were just talking about this. I was talking about this with a friend of mine of just a few weeks ago, and I think that when Roots came out, I remember I think I was in elementary school, and but I didn't really appreciate at that time the message behind that particular documentary, because I just thought that it was mean and kind of brutal, actually, and so I didn't appreciate what it was trying to convey until years later, when I actually read, a couple years later, I read the book, and because I actually saw the movie before I read the book, and once I read the book, it really began to make more sense to me, and Alec Taylor really wanted us to know, and what his core message was in that particular work. And Maya Angelou had a very, very strong role in that work as well. And so, when in addition to her written works, that's the one thing that really stands out. I apologize. They seems that Blog Talk Radio just had a little glitch there, and I was disconnected momentarily. I certainly apologize for that. That was out of my control. It just happened. Some little glitch hit the system, and it just knocked the switchboard out for a moment. But we're moving forward. Those things happen, and some things are just not in your control. All right, so let me read the next part of Dr. Angelou's bio here. In 2000, she was honored with the Presidential Medal of the Arts. She received the Forest Theater Lincoln Medal in 2008. And in the same year, she narrated the award-winning documentary film, The Black Candle, and published a book of guidance for young women. Letter to My Daughter in 2011, President Barack Obama awarded her the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She participated in a series of live broadcasts for Achievement Television in 1991, 1994, and 1997. Taking questions submitted by students from across the United States. The interview with Maya Angelou has been condensed from several broadcasts because I think it was rather lengthy. So let me go here now. I think let us hear The Heart of a Woman. I know that we thought about that one. No, I think we already listened to that one. Let's go to Phenomenal Woman. That's the one I was looking for. And this is actually my favorite piece from Maya Angelou, Phenomenal Woman. It has been cited and quoted so many times by so many people, and I actually drafted a piece a couple of years ago based on the way that she formed that particular work, not just like it, but it was pretty, it was based on the way that she put it together. And so I really love this piece, which is Phenomenal Woman. And then we will come back and talk about some little-known facts to Maya Angelou. Phenomenal Woman.
Phenomenal Woman. Many people wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. When I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palms of my hands, the need for my care, because I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's my mother and all your mothers and my grandmothers and your grandmothers and my great-grandmothers and your greats and my great-greats and your and all you women and me.
All right. Phenomenal Woman by the late poet Maya Angelou. Excuse me. All right. Let's take a look at some fast facts, actually. I said little-known facts. These are fast facts about Maya Angelou. And then we will listen to a couple more clips before ending tonight's broadcast. She was born on April 4th, 1928, which is the day that Dr. King was assassinated. And, of course, she passed away on May 28th, 2014, which was this morning. I believe they said somewhere close around the 8 o'clock a.m. hour is when she transitioned. She was born in St. Louis, Missouri. Her birth name was Marguerite Johnson. Her father was Bailey Johnson, a doorman. Her mother was Vivian Baxter Johnson, a nurse. She was married to Paul DeFew from 1973 to 1980, and they divorced. And she was also married to Tosh Angelos from 1950 to 1952. They also divorced. Her children, one son, Clyde Guy Johnson, who was born in 1944. Maya attended California Labor School in 1942. And here's a few other facts. She was an author, poet, actor, singer, songwriter, dancer, playwright, historian, director, civil rights activist, and teacher. She was fluent in six languages. She was fluent in English, French, Spanish, Italian, Arabic, and West African Fanti. She was the first African-American female member of the Directors Guild of America, and she studied dance with Pearl Prentice in New York. She won 3 Grammy Awards, nominated for a Tony Award. So we'll look at here the timeline of Dr. Angelos' life. 1931, her parents divorced, and she is sent with her brother Bailey to live with their paternal grandmother, Annie Henderson, in Stamps, Arkansas. In 1935, she and her brother moved to St. Louis to live with their mother. In 1936, she was raped by her mother's boyfriend, Mr. Freeman. After she confides about the rape to her brother and testifies at Freeman's trial, he is found beaten to death, apparently at the hands of Angelos' uncles. She stopped speaking in public for 5 years as a result of her guilt and belief that her words had caused his murder. This is the basis for her first autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. In 1942, while a high school student, she studied drama and dance on a scholarship at the California Labor School, a college for adults. She dropped out to become San Francisco's first female African-American cable car conductor. In the 1950s, she was a nightclub performer at the Purple Onion in San Francisco, Mr. Kelly's in Chicago, and Blue Angel and Village Vanguard in New York. In 1954 through 1955, she toured Europe and Africa as Ruby in a State Department-sponsored production of Porgy and Bess. Also, she taught modern dance in Italy and Israel. In 1957, her only recorded album, Miss Calypso, is released. In 1960, she writes, produces, directs, and performs in a musical review, Cabaret for Freedom, to raise money for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And she succeeds Bayard Rustin as the Northern conductor for the SCLC. From 1961 to 62, she moved to Cairo, Egypt, and became the associate editor of the Arab Observer. And from 1963 to 66, she moved to Ghana as an assistant administrator for the School of Music and Drama at the University of Ghana, and also worked as feature editor for the African Review. In 1970, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings is published. It is later broadcast on national television in 1979 with a script and musical score written by Maya Angelou herself. In 1972, she was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize for Just Give Me a Cold Drink of Water Before I Die. In 1972, she becomes the first African-American woman to have an original screenplay produced as a movie for Georgia, Georgia. In 1975 through 76, she was a member of the National Commission on the Observance of International Women's Year. And in 1977, she appeared in the television miniseries Roots. In 1981, she was appointed lifetime chair as Reynolds Professor of American Studies at Wake Forest University. January 20th, 1993, she recites her poem On the Pulse of Morning at the inauguration of Bill Clinton, becoming the second poet to participate in a president's inauguration after Robert Frost read at President John F. Kennedy's 1961 ceremony. February 1993, she won a Grammy for Best Spoken Word or Non-Musical Album for On the Pulse of Morning. March 1995, she won a Grammy for Best Spoken Word for Non-Musical Album for Phenomenal Woman. October 16, 1995, she recites a poem from a black woman to a black man at the Million Man March in Washington. 1998, she was the film directorial debut for Down in the Delta. In 2000, she received the National Medal of Art. February 2002, she wins a Grammy for Best Spoken Word Album for A Song Flung Up to Heaven. 2006 through 2010, she hosted a weekly show for Oprah on Sirius XM Radio, formerly XM Radio's Oprah and Friends. January 21st, 2008, she is the keynote speaker for the MLK Day celebration at Virginia Tech. February 15, 2011, she was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama. August 30, 2011, she is critical of the new Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C. She says the paraphrased quote about King being a drum major for peace, justice, and righteousness makes him sound like an arrogant twit. Federal officials later announced that the controversial inscription will be removed. 2013, her eighth autobiographical book, Mom and Me and Mom, A Tribute to Her Mother and Grandmother, is published. And May 28, 2014, Darrell lost again a true icon in the state of North Carolina, where she died this morning in Winston-Salem. So those are some fast facts about Dr. Angelou. So I'm going to finish playing the remaining clips that I have from her, which includes A Song Flung Up to Heaven, Harriet Tubman, and then the last piece will be Still I Rise. And I will be back with you at the conclusion of these clips, and then we will give an announcement or two before we end tonight's broadcast, and we'll be right back.
Come down from that mountain, Harriet. Come down to the valley at night. Come down to your weeping people and be their guiding light. Sing, Deep River. Don't you want to cross over today? Sing, Deep River. Don't you want to walk on freedom's way? I stole down in the nighttime. I come back in the day. I stole back to Maryland to guide the slaves away. You better run, brave Harriet. There's ransom on your head. You better run, Miss Harriet. They want you alive or dead. I've been down in the valleys yonder and searching round the stills. They got a posse after you, a-riding through the hills. They got bloodhounds smelling. They got their guns cocked, too. You better run, bold Harriet. The white man's after you. They got $10,000 put on your cold black head. They'll give $10,000. They mad because you fled. I'm Harriet Tubman, people. I'm Harriet the slave. I'm Harriet, free woman, and I'm free beyond my grave.
Random House Audio Voices presents A Song Flung Up to Heaven by Maya Angelou. Read for you by the author.
A Song Flung Up to Heaven. The old arts are moverin', moverin', moverin'. Old arts are moverin', and I'm going home. A 19th century spiritual. The old art was a Pan Am jet, and I was returning to the United States. The airplane had originated in Johannesburg and stopped in Accra, Ghana, to pick up passengers. I boarded, wearing traditional West African dress, and sensed myself immediately, and for the first time in years, out of place. A presentiment of unease enveloped me before I could find my seat at the rear of the plane. For the first few minutes, I busied myself arranging bags, souvenirs, and presents. When I finally settled into my narrow seat, I looked around and became at once aware of the source of my discomfort.
I was among more white people than I had seen in 4 years. During that period, I had not once thought of not seeing white people because there were European, Canadian, and white American faculty at the university where I worked. Roger and Jean Genoux, who were Swiss and United Nations personnel, had become my close friends and, in fact, helped me to raise, or better, corral my teenage son. So my upset did not come from seeing the white complexion, but rather from seeing so much.
Okay, and that was Dr. Angelou with a song, Flung Up to Heaven. Let me read this announcement again, and then, because I want the last voice that you hear tonight as we leave the broadcast to be the voice of Maya Angelou. So I'm going to get this, I'm going to read this announcement, and then we, I think there's two more that I am going to play, and then we're going to end tonight's broadcast. And certainly, I am just so glad that you took the time out to stay with me tonight as we honor Maya Angelou. For those in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Lend a Hand Foundation is presenting its annual dinner and award ceremony on Saturday, May 31st, at the Scottish Rite Center in Oakland, California. The special guests will be P. Escovedo, Ricardo Scales, and Danny Glover. You don't want to miss this great event. For more information, you should call 510-553-1262. Again, that number is 510-553-1262. And it is the Lend a Hand Foundation presenting its annual dinner and awards ceremony. And again, that's Saturday, May 31st at the Scottish Rite Center in Oakland, California. And also, we want to let you know that on June 4th, we will be just so pleased and honored to have with us the ambassador to South Africa, Tandi Renko, and Bobby Renko, and she is just, I can't say enough about this lady. I just truly, truly just love her so very much. And so we are just excited about having the South African ambassador with us on June 4th on a national and international roundtable. And so tonight, as we remember the life and legacy of Maya Angelou, we are playing some clips of her voice and her doing what she does best in reciting her poetry and speaking and just doing those things to enlighten and teach and inform and educate others all around this planet that we live on. And so before we go, I would like to play again, which I know that I already have done it. The last two, I do want to play Phenomenal Woman once again, because that's exactly what Maya Angelou was, Phenomenal Woman. And then we're going to end with Still I Rise. So Phenomenal Woman, and then I Rise, and then we'll say goodnight to you all. Thank you so much for joining me here tonight as I sit in for Arif Khatib and Judge Fad Wilson. And I just hope that the rest of your week is blessed and wonderful. And just don't forget to love and hug and tell people what you think about them while they can still hear you. Phenomenal Woman. And then Still I Rise. And I'm going to say goodnight to you.
Phenomenal Woman. Many people wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. When I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palms of my hands, the need for my care, because I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's my mother and all your mothers and my grandmothers and your grandmothers and my great-grandmothers and your greats and my great-greats and your and all you women and me. Still I rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just 'cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with the certainty of tides, just like hopes springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't take it awful hard, just 'cause I laugh. As if I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance as if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling. I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise into a daybreak miraculously clear. I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the hope and the dream of the slave, and so I rise, I rise, I rise.
How do you gauge the greatness of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? By its ability to carry cargo or to carry on a legacy? Its show of strength or its sign of intelligence? The ability to cross harsh terrain or to break new ground? Or do you gauge greatness by the exceptional offer you got on your Mercedes-Benz SUV? Come in this Thanksgiving week for opportunities abounding. There has never been a better time to obtain greatness than right now. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. How do you gauge the greatness of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? By its ability to carry cargo or to carry on a legacy? Its show of strength or its sign of intelligence? The ability to cross harsh terrain or to break new ground? Or do you gauge greatness by the exceptional offer you got on your Mercedes-Benz SUV? Come in this Thanksgiving week for opportunities abounding. There has never been a better time to obtain greatness than right now. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.